Have you ever wondered if your faith in Christ is right? Could it be that we've completely missed the boat? The Jewish faith is still looking for the Messiah. Jesus said he would return to judge the world and take the church home, but we're still waiting. God doesn't seem to give Christians everything we want. So does he really answer our prayers? Have you at any point been disappointed that God's plan didn't go along with your plan? It didn't go your way? Have you ever been so confused by the circumstances that you wondered if God is even real? And if he is, does he care about me? Do I matter? Has God forgotten me? Is God angry with me? Am I being punished? Job had questions like that. And it seems that John the Baptist had similar questions as he sent messengers to Jesus with the question, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, John was in prison. He'd been in prison for some time at that point. And he wasn't a criminal. He had not committed a crime. He was in prison for calling out the governor on his adultery. He said, you've taken your brother's wife as your own, and you know that's not right. And he went to prison for that. And John's disciples had been telling him all about what Jesus was doing. They told him about the big sermon there around Capernaum, and they would have told him about the centurion's servant who was healed without Jesus even going to the man's house. And they would have told him certainly about the funeral there at Nain, where Jesus stopped the funeral procession and raised the dead man from life and gave him back to his mother. That's the context. In Luke chapter 7, and we pick it up in verse 18, John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. And so he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Now, as I said, John the Baptist was in prison. And it did not seem to him, I'm sure, that Jesus was doing anything about it, because he's still in jail. Surely John knew that execution was a possibility. This Herod king was brutal. And Jesus said that he had come to set prisoners free. Jesus himself even read from Isaiah 61, that part that we read at the beginning of the service, to identify himself as the one sent to free people from bondage. And he claimed to be fulfilling that prophecy. He identified himself as the Messiah. Let's just look back at Luke chapter 4, where he read that. It was a Sabbath day, and Jesus was in the synagogue. He was handed the scroll of Isaiah. And in Luke 4:18, he's quoting the part that Jesus read that day, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus read that prophecy in a way that he was identifying himself as the one who had come to set the prisoners free. And there's John the Baptist, the one, his own cousin, who had been given the job to announce the coming Messiah. He's in jail. And he's still in jail. Jesus, are you the one? John's disciples told him about all these things going on with Jesus, the big sermon, the centurion's servant, the funeral at Nain. John was not guilty of any crime, so why had Jesus not set him free? Why did Jesus not get him out of jail? Maybe John was expecting Jesus to do something really big and Messiah-like. Like maybe he thought Jesus was going to send his armies against Rome, or at least clear the Roman soldiers out of Israel. Couldn't he at least arrange a jailbreak and get his cousin out of jail? Maybe John was convinced that Jesus was the one, but he was impatient. Like, maybe he wanted to see, maybe he wanted to speed up this messianic movement by sending messengers to Jesus to imply, let's get on with this thing. Come on, let's go. You know, call in the troops, send the missiles, get the airplanes moving. Let's move. Maybe John really wanted his disciples to hear straight from Jesus who he was. Maybe he wanted them to be loyal to Jesus, and so he sent the messengers there to talk to Jesus personally and hear it and see it firsthand. This is the one. Maybe John knew that he would be in jail for a long time and might die there. And he wanted his disciples to transfer their loyalty to Jesus. Maybe all those things were going on. Maybe the simplest answer is the best to why John asked this question. Maybe he was discouraged, and he just needed to check in with Jesus. Are you the one? Have I missed something? I'm still in jail. I'm not seeing the big movement that I expected. Are you the one? Now listen to me. This doesn't mean that John had lost his faith. Okay? John was not deconstructing his faith. But he might have been a little discouraged. He might have just needed a checkup. You know, clarify this for me. And many of us, maybe I guess all of us get into situations that cause us to ask similar questions. Have I done something to offend you? Because it doesn't seem like things are going well here. Is this stuff real? Is this just a psychological crutch like our accusers say that we just use this religion as a crutch? Sometimes we just need a little reassurance. And my favorite part of the whole passage here is Jesus' answer to the messenger's question. He said, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard." The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Just remind John what's happening. He'll get it. Just tell him what you're seeing and hearing. He'll understand. In this series from Luke's gospel, I've said numerous times, just look at the evidence. Just read the evidence. Pay attention to the reports about who Jesus is and what he teaches. Go back and remind yourself. Get into the Word. Read it for yourself. Go to his Word for reassurance. Read the stories. Pray the prayers. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide your soul. And pay attention to who Jesus is and what he taught. Just tell John what you see and hear. You see, everything that Jesus was doing was fulfilling that prophecy that was given to Isaiah centuries before. He's the one. Jesus is the Messiah. Just remind John. And Jesus took the opportunity. Apparently this conversation wasn't really private, because he took the opportunity to challenge the crowd and their understanding. What are you? Why are you people here? What are you looking for? And why did you go out into the wilderness to hear from John? Why did you go out there and be baptized by John? What was all that about? Why did you go? Picking up in verse 24 there in Luke 7, it says, after John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you? I butchered that. Let me read it again, because he's quoting Malachi. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. If you write in your Bible, you might want to underline or make a note there, that phrase, they rejected God's purpose for themselves. I want to tell you, that's frightening. Don't do that. Do not reject God's purpose for you. Here was God in flesh standing in their midst, and they rejected him. And he said, he was questioning the crowd about John. Well, let me just finish reading that from verse 31. Jesus went on to say, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread or drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. So Jesus was challenging the crowd. Why did you go out to the river? What did you go out there to see something as common as reeds in the river? Did you go out there to see someone who's easily swayed like a reed in the wind? Well, John was not that guy. He was fiercely stubborn. He was in jail because he challenged the governor about his adultery. Oh, John was true to his calling, a calling that came even before he was born. He was the proclaimer announcing the coming Messiah, and he was true to the task. He was not swayed like a reed in the wind. Did you come out here? Did you go out there to see someone soft and delicate like he lived in a castle? Well, that's not John. He ate honey and locusts. In other words, bush grub. Or as they say down under, bush tucker. He ate what he could find. He wore a camel hair tunic. He lived like a crazy prophet from the old Israel, like their ancestors. And we read that part where Jesus quoted Malachi, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. John was indeed a man designed and called by God for a high purpose. And John stood at the crossroads of time, representing the history and the purpose of Israel, and all the while introducing the future to all nations. He stood in the place of Old Testament prophets and heralded the Messiah who had come to deliver salvation. He was the crier at the gateway to the kingdom of God, calling people to know the Son who was delivering the kingdom to earth. John, though chosen to announce the king, was in prison for doing what God called him to do. And Jesus was going to allow him to suffer death by execution, even though he was great among men. And yet he said, the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Believers under the new covenant have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit that was not like what most experienced before Jesus came. We have access to the kingdom in greater and more consistent ways than they did. John was a true prophet in the style of Elijah. He lived up to his calling, and yet died tragically, being faithful to the end. Or was it a tragedy? Is it a tragedy if you die fulfilling your calling? Is it a tragedy if you go to your end being faithful to the Lord? I think not. Those who had rejected the baptism of repentance offered by John did not accept what Jesus was teaching. They did not accept Jesus' teaching as God's teaching, God's way, God's plan, and therefore they rejected the Messiah who was in their midst. And they rejected God's purpose for themselves. And Jesus was frustrated with them. What's going to please you people? How will you be convinced? You rejected John because you said he was strange and he wasn't going by your customs. You reject me because I attend your gatherings and I associate with common people. And the verse he quoted must have been some little ditty or saying of the day. He said, you're like children in the marketplace singing. We played a pipe for you. You didn't dance. We sang a dirge. You didn't cry. In other words, happy or sad, you can't be pleased. What's going to convince you people? You can't be satisfied. Oh, aren't we the same way today at times? Some people criticize every religion and yet never seek the true God. Even church people are pretty fickle sometimes and never seem to be pleased unless they get it their way. Other churches, right? I want to tell you that God's kingdom is not like Burger King. You don't get it your way. That's not God's motto, have it your way. It is His kingdom, and we are expected to take up His way. Have it His way. Isn't that Jesus' invitation to us? Come, lay your burdens down. Take up my yoke. I'll make your burden light. Take up my ways and you will like it. You will have joy in the midst of trouble. You will be satisfied even if you're poor. You'll be content even if the world does not accept you. When you live like a kingdom citizen, in the words of our Guatemalan friend, it's okay. To the messengers who came on behalf of John, Jesus, are you the one? Jesus replied, pay attention. Pay attention. Watch closely. Go back and tell John what you hear. What you see, just remind him. And those of you who are coming around wanting to be healed or be baptized, what are you on about? Why are you here? Are you going to get with the program or not? And that's still the valid question. Get on or off. Pay attention to the evidence. Read the stories. Let the Spirit console you, teach you, guide you. We have so much at our fingertips. He is the one. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He's the King, God, in flesh, who gave His life for us. Music team, come please. I know there's a lot of reason to hurt. There's disappointments, there's questions, there's sorrow in this life. It's okay to run to Jesus and say, have I got it wrong? Did I miss something? And be willing to see the evidence. Do you need to do that today? Do you just need to get rid of some stuff? Leave it? Do so. Do you need to meet the Lord for the first time today? We want to give you that opportunity. If so, come on up. Somebody will counsel with you and pray with you. pray with each other, whatever you need to do, stand and sing.